Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini. And yes, you're at the right place for all the most practical, realistic, and current home improvement information you'll find anywhere. Matter of fact, talking about current home improvement information, I have my hands on a phenomenal ROI home remodeling study, and it's being released for the very first time right now. We're going to be able to tell you, if you're thinking of investing in your home, what kind of return on that home improvement dollar might you get? We're going to share that with you in just a little bit. Also, we're going to talk about tips on insulating older homes, pink ceramic tile. What can you do? The nostalgic factor is wonderful, but sometimes you really want to bring it into this century. So we'll tell you some of the options that you can do there. Also, a dripping shower head. Man, that drives me crazy when you see that. It can be easy to fix. We're going to help a homeowner out with that. We've got a lot of great emails, a lot of callers from all over the country. And my buddy Joe always has a great simple solution for us.
I do indeed. And it has to do with painting and how you can use an old egg carton, you know, the either styrofoam or the cardboard cartons, how you can use them in your next painting project.
All right, that sounds good. Well, if people are buying eggs, I mean,
yeah,
it's so funny how little things like that start, you know, seeing it on just about every news program about the cost of eggs and everybody's theory as to why. And then, of course, online on Facebook and other things, you get everybody joking about it and so forth. And
it's not so funny when you go to buy a dozen eggs and they cost $7 or $8.
Right. You remember that movie, Scarface, and Al Pacino sitting there at that big desk, and he had that big mountain of white powder drugs in front of him and so forth. And I saw a little clip online the other day of that same thing, but he had about 10 cartons of eggs piled up in front of him. So it just always baffles me when you see
they're going to be delivered
like
in a Brinks truck to the supermarket pretty soon.
Hey, you know, Joe, something I was thinking about that I was reading the other day.
What's that?
On today's homeowner.com. You know, we talk about all kinds of little homemade recipes and combining this and this, especially vinegar and baking soda in so many different ways. We had a little alert that we put out recently on things that you should not combine, and I thought I would run down them real quick.
Oh, okay.
Some of these are very common sense kind of things, but bleach and rubbing alcohol, that's a no-no. You know, you have these things there, and they look like they would go together.
Right.
No, let's hold off on the bleach and rubbing alcohol, as well as the bleach and ammonia.
Oh,
they
yes.
don't play together very well at all.
Yeah, that creates, I think that's the basis of mustard gas that you
that's
used
what
in
I hear.
World War
yeah.
One, right? Yeah,
yeah,
don't do that. That's lethal.
Nothing good about that. Also, bleach and vinegar is something that they say not to combine those. Also, if you're trying to get that clog out of the drains, you know, when you use a drain cleaner, you know, some people say it works perfectly. My experience, it's never worked, but never try to combine two drain cleaners at the same time. That's another taboo.
Also, Danny, I just want to say, if you are using those liquid drain cleaner, which are chemicals, people pour them in there, then they start plunging and they yank that plunger off. That chemical sprays out, so, you know, do not do that. I would never use those, but some people do. But just be careful if you use them, because that splashes on you. That can burn your skin.
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of those flexible drain brushes, they go by a lot of different names, and some of them have kind of a real kind of Velcro-like surface on them. Others have just little tiny hooks. But either way, take that strainer out of that bathroom vanity and run that down in there one time and pull it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better have a tough stomach, because there's a lot of stuff that comes out of those
drains. You never
drains,
know but, that's coming out. That's right.
But one more combination you don't want to use is hydrogen peroxide and vinegar. So just a little caution here on some of these things. Make sure you read it carefully and know what you're pulling out of that pantry to put together, because we do offer a lot of these kind of comments. But Joe, this ROI study, you know, there's been studies out for over the years that have looked at things, and you and I are kind of skeptics in a little bit. You know, we'll look at it and go, wait a minute, does that make sense? I'm not real sure. This study, which was based on interviewing 70,000 homeowners, not 1,200 realtors.
That's right. Not just your neighbors.
Right. Not just neighbors. This is a big, big study. And, you know, if you're interested in this kind of thing, and you should be if you're about to spend some money on your home, you can go to todayshomeowner.com/radio. Right there on the radio page, we'll have a link to this complete study. But some of the things that they mention here are, you know, on the average, remodeling projects have a 69% return on your investment. And surprisingly, again, garage door replacement ranks the best. 100%.
That is a surprise, right? 100% of your money back.
I guess so many of the styles of homes these days, with the lots getting smaller and right. people are, you know, building garages in front to try to elongate the houses a bit and so forth. Maybe that's one of the reasons, because it is so prominent on the house. But I always found that kind of unusual. And this research study shows that the thing that ranks the worst in your return is finishing a basement.
Also surprising to me.
What I think about on something like that is it costs a lot more money than you think. When people say, "Well, hey, I got something overhead. I got something here. How much could it cost?" Oh boy. Well, then you get into the proper access, and a staircase, a good what we call a code compliant staircase, can cost a lot of money. Then you've got to have egress. You've got to have that way to get out.
Often dealing with moisture issues.
Right. Right. Then you've got moisture, and also anytime you've got walls, ceiling, and floor that you have to finish, and electrical, and drywall, and of course the 87-inch big screen TV.
you have to figure, how am I going to get it into the basement? You have to cut a hole in the side of your house, right?
So, you know, those are some of the things to consider that drives it up and everything. Tell us about another one of the findings that you saw in there, Joe.
Well, I thought it was interesting, but it made sense when I thought about the average cost covered for these exterior projects are 23% higher than interior projects. And I guess when you think about it, it's like, well, any exterior project improves the curb appeal of your home. So if you're trying to sell your home, obviously you're going to recoup more of that cost than if you repainted a bathroom that no one sees. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It's 23% higher return for exterior projects. And in the kitchen, appliances and counters may help home values the very most. And I guess that's not surprising, right, Danny? We always say put money, especially if you're selling your home, put money into the kitchens and the baths. That's what everybody's looking for.
However, it does point out that going for those really high-end luxury type of appliances and so forth, or luxury items in your bathroom, return less than 50%.
Right. You can overspend. That's right. You can certainly overspend on any project.
And you just won't get that money back. Of course, if that's what you want, if you want the big refrigerator or the chef level type stove and cooktops and things like that, I mean, go for it. Just realize that you're doing it at a price, if you will. And so that's one of the things that we've seen quite a bit. But we've got a lot of things we want to share with you throughout this entire thing. And another thing, if you're living out on the West Coast, it shows that the Western states have the highest ROI across all of the 34 projects that they did in this study. It showed that it skews a little better out there for some reason. But
I think maybe because more people are moving to those Western states. I think that might be part of the reason,
We've got a lot of other little tidbits we'll share with you on this. And again, you can go to todayshomeowner.com/radio right now and be able to see the link to this whole entire comprehensive study. Just a fantastic, a lot of infographs and things like that in there that really make it very, very interesting to you. Now, we want to hear from you, and we make it as easy as possible. If you'd like to send us an email right now, we're going to get to a lot of our emails in just a little bit. You can send us one by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask, or pick up the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and call the Today's Homeowner hotline, 800-946-4420. We'll share with you a lot of other tips, a lot of things that you can use. Joe's got a great simple solution and a whole lot of other things that we're going to be able to share with you. And also want to encourage you to go ahead and get the Today's Homeowner newsletter. It's something that almost 150,000 people get every single week, and you'll see why if you sign up right now. todayshomeowner.com/newsletter, and we'll send you one once a week right in your inbox so that you can stay up to date on all the things you need to know seasonally, as well as some great tips that we share there that we share nowhere else. Again, todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
When you download the Home Depot app, taking on big or small projects starts with a tap. It's your pocket-sized toolbox for getting more done. Image search helps you find what you need with a snap. Store mode pinpoints exactly where to go to get what you want while you're at our store. Or just tap to arrange for easy curbside pickup, all from the palm of your hand. It's the app that's made for doing. The Home Depot app. How doers get more done.
If you're looking for an extra measure of comfort, convenience, and cleanliness in your bathroom, nothing delivers at all like the SoftSpa electronic bidet toilet seat by FluidMaster. The SoftSpa is a full bidet offering a luxury experience without the expense of replacing your toilet. The SoftSpa features fully adjustable water pressure, temperature, and positioning, as well as a heated seat and warm air dryer. Don't settle for less than luxury in your bathroom. Trust FluidMaster.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, heard coast to coast on some amazing radio stations like this one, WOCA 96.3 FM and 1370 AM in Ocala, Florida. Certainly appreciate all the folks there in and around Ocala listening in today. And if we can help you with any challenge you have around your house, go to that keyboard and type in todayshomeowner.com/ask. Send us an email anytime or pick up the phone and give us a call, 800-946-4420. Right now we're headed to Indiana. Philip's on the line. Philip, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house there.
Yes, I've got a house that's about 150 years old, they tell me. Has the cement shingle siding. I think that's what they're called. And I know back then they probably didn't put any insulation when they built houses back then, but there's quarter-size holes all around on both levels where I assume they put some cellulose in at some point. My question is, I think I read somewhere or saw somewhere that cellulose like all falls to the bottom eventually. How would a person either know that, and then can you get cellulose through those little holes, or would you use some kind of foam product? How would you do some insulation in a situation like that?
All right. Well, Philip, if those holes are that small, I would certainly think it was some kind of foam.
Right.
Cellulose has a little bit of bulk to it, and generally those holes for cellulose, when they blow in what they commonly call a blow-in blanket that has a little bit of glue mixed in with the cellulose to kind of hold it in place, usually those holes will be at least 2 inches, something like that. So with the smaller holes, you can assume that it's foam. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have a high and low hole? Do you have one that's down, say, 4 or 5 feet up and another one up higher than that? Or do you have just the one at the top of the wall section?
There are two stories. So I've got one, you know, like above head level for the first floor, and then I don't know how high the other one would be, but it's probably the same distance from where the second floor starts, I would assume. I'd have measured it.
Well, the thing about it is, in all of the older houses like that had a center span horizontal blocking, commonly called fire blocking. And that's where they usually will have to drill a hole up high and fill up that top half of the wall, and another one down below to fill up that bottom half of the wall. Now, they may know something here that I can't see, but in terms of it being just one stud bay going down. But what do you think on that, Joe, with the shingles on the outside? You can't pry any of those off to peek
right,
in.
Yeah.
Any thought for Philip here?
Yeah, Philip, a house that old might be what they call balloon framed, which means there are continuous studs that go from the first floor straight up to the second floor. Then it would just hang the second floor off of those. So you'd have a very long stud bay going from the bottom floor right to the top floor. And they would put fire blocking, horizontal blocking between that. And that obviously would stop any insulation from dropping down. That's why there's almost always a hole at the bottom. Not only can they blow insulation up if they need to, but if they're pumping it in from the top, they'll see it, right? If it starts coming out that bottom hole, they'll realize there's no blocking. There's nothing impeding the insulation. So that whole stud bay has been filled. Without a hole at the bottom, I'm not sure how they know how much they even put in there. Because you might have only insulation halfway down and the whole first floor might not be insulated. And without opening up either the outside or the inside, it would be hard to tell. And I agree with Danny, a quarter size hole, I mean, it must be a foam, but I've never seen a hole that small. With
yeah, I haven't
it's,
either.
It's usually like 2.5 inches in diameter. So the only, I mean, it would be easier to open up the inside of the wall, easily patch it. Do you have plaster probably, I suspect, not drywall, right? You probably have plaster on the inside?
Lath and plaster, yeah.
Lath and plaster, yeah. Isn't that fun to deal with? Well, there's no other way of knowing that I can tell. I guess they do have inspection cameras. They can drill a small hole and drop it down and take a look.
I wonder about taking a baseboard off. You know, the house like that, I would assume, has a pretty substantial baseboard.
That would be a lot of work off the plaster, but that'd be another way of checking, sure.
Yeah, it might be that you can score it real carefully on the top part of that and kind of ease it off the wall, especially if it's a room that you may be planning on painting or something like that, and be able to at least peek in that one room and you know, be able to get an idea. And then if you have consistent insulation there, you can be pretty confident the rest of the house is good.
These baseboards are about probably 5-6 inches tall.
Yeah. That's what I figured. Yeah.
They're no, Jilt, you could try doing, Philip, that I've tested for insulation. I didn't think of it until just now. Just drill a relatively small diameter hole, maybe 1/4 inch or a little bigger, and you slip a wire in there. Get like a clothes hanger, cut it so you have a straight piece, and bend a hook on one side. So it's just, you know, a hook that you can still fit through the hole and pull it out. And just put it in there, wiggle it around, and yank it out. And if it comes out with insulation, you've got insulation. If it doesn't, and you'll hear it rattling around if it's hollow. Because no matter what you have in there, if there's any kind of insulation, you'll be able to hook it and pull out a little tuft.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
And then you'll know. And this will save you the trouble. You know, then you can just patch that little hole with a little spackle or something.
So you're talking about on the inside, cut a hole on the inside?
Correct. Yeah, on the inside, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That cement siding or shingles you talked about, I'm a little concerned it might be asbestos siding, in which case you don't want to mess with that stuff at all. Mm-hmm. So if that's what it is.
Could you run a wire through one of those quarter-size holes on the outside, and would it pick up the insulation?
Yeah, oh, sure. But I'm not sure why you do it on the outside, because that would open it up to rain. And again, if that's asbestos siding, you're creating dust, and you don't want to be breathing that dust. So I think I'd do it from the inside.
Well, they've got plugs in each hole. They got plastic plugs.
Oh, yeah. You
so
could try that. Yeah. That won't tell you if you have insulation down below, though, because the holes are up high, right?
Well, they have some on both floors, some on the first floor and some on the second floor.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely try to access that and see just what you see in there.
Okay. And if it did need insulation with those small holes, I mean, does you call on a contractor to do that, or is there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That yourself?
Yeah, you could call around. I mean, so many people are doing the foam now that you can call around and find someone that can do that retrofit foam.
Yeah, and Philip, if it is foam that they sprayed in there, and you poke a wire with a hook on it, you won't pull out any foam because it'll be hard. But you'll see it if you pull up, and you'll be able to see, because I'm sure it filled up that hole. You'll see, you know, it looks like almost styrofoam blown in there, right?
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. Well, good luck. Hope you find lots of insulation.
Thanks, guys. Okay,
all
thanks
right.
So much, Philip. Best of luck to you on that. Yeah, there are always mysteries around the house. Let's go straight to an email that actually is another mystery. Emma in New York said, I recently had stone floor tiles installed in my kitchen. I now have mysterious spots on the stone that I can't remove. Any suggestion? You know, things could, especially stone materials, can get stained so easily. It can be, you know, I mean, a little bit of bacon grease, a little bit of something that you track in, and can get ground down in there very quickly if it's not sealed. One of the reasons that we recommend sealing any of those, you know, products, and not necessarily to make it, you know, high sheen or very shiny, as much as just to seal the pores so that stains won't get in. Any thoughts on that, Joe, in terms of maybe she could clean it off with something?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's so many different types of stone. Emma doesn't say what kind. Hey, Emma Stone. Emma doesn't say what kind of stone this is. And some are much more porous than others and softer than others, as you alluded to. So I would start with a homemade solution. You could try just diluted white vinegar and water with a little detergent and scrub it. If that doesn't work, you can mix salt with warm water to form like a paste and use that to scrub it. Again, you have to be careful if it's a really soft stone, and we don't know what this is. Otherwise, you'll just have to use a commercial stone cleaner. And the only thing I'll caution Emma about, and anyone else listening, is if you're going to use a commercial stone cleaner, read the label really carefully.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And make sure it's designed for the stone you have. Because not all stone cleaners clean all stones. And, you know, this is assuming you can identify the type of stone. But that's about the best I can tell her is just, move. If you can't do it with a homemade solution, get a commercial, a commercial cleaner that's designed for that particular stone.
Well, it's certainly important, though, to do the research and choose the right thing. I was just recently putting another coat, cleaning and putting two more coats of sealer on the travertine stone I have around on my back porch and so forth. And pretty sizable area. So I did all kinds of research, and oh boy, the number one thing they say, no vinegar of any kind. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, they just said dishwashing detergent.
Yeah.
To clean it, just to get anything that would prevent the new sealer from sticking to it. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about pink ceramic tiles. Do you have any in your house? Would you like to change it? Maybe kind of modernize it a little bit? We'll have some tips when we come back here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
And welcome back to the show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, one of the most useful tools a DIYer can own is a good wet dry vacuum. But, you know, dragging that cord around everywhere you need one can really be a hassle. So Ryobi developed their new one cordless 4.75-gallon wet-dry vacuum kit with a powerful 40 CFMs of suction. This 4.5-gallon wet-dry vac is ready to handle those big jobs without having to carry that cord around. The stainless steel tub rides on four caster wheels, which will rotate a full 360 to provide balanced mobility rolling along over any obstacle. It also features a collapsible handle that makes transportation to your messy place a lot easier. But it lays flat when you're storing it after the job is all done. There's a built-in onboard storage for the telescoping wand and all the accessories, plus the 5-foot flexible hose uses a twist lock to avoid accidental disconnection. So there's no excuse not to clean up after yourself now. So for more for more information on this Ryobi One cordless 4.75-gallon wet-dry vacuum, log on to homedepot.com or drop by your local Home Depot. I tell you, that's one of the things. But Joe, let me tell you, someone is using a wet dry vac to clean up a wet mess, people don't know to take the filter out.
Oh, absolutely.
I went to grab mine the other day and I heard sloshing and all. And we had a leaky refrigerator out in my shop, and someone had dried it all up. And I opened that up and that filter was soggy and falling apart.
That's the kind of thing you only do once. If you own you only do it once, you realize, okay, I have to remember to take that out.
As they say up in Connecticut, hey, hey, hey.
I thought I heard somebody yelling that. That was you. Okay.
Hey, let's get right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Bernice is on the line. Bernice, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on in that bathroom of yours.
I have an older home, and one of my bathrooms, the tiles are pink, and it's not cost-efficient right now to change them out. So I wanted to know, can they be painted? And if so, what kind of paint should I use? Is it an easy job?
Well, good question, because there's a lot of people that have those pink tiles, turquoise, harvest gold, and all these beautiful stellar colors from the 60s and 70s or earlier. And it's funny, Bernice, because I'm actually going to visit a family this afternoon for consideration on our television show that has the exact same thing. I've seen all the pictures and the tile's in perfect shape. Everything looks good, but it is pink. So what we're going to look at doing, and I have done this successfully in the past, is simply to paint it with an epoxy paint. Now, I say simply, but it's not that simple because you really have to prepare the surface well, to do a little bit of sanding, cleaning very thoroughly, and then lots of ventilation, applying the epoxy over it, which will cost a fair amount of money, but instantly everything's white, or I think these homeowners may want to go with a kind of a bone white. And we're going to give it a try, and I've done it before, and it works very, very good on the walls. not recommended on the floor. Joe, any other suggestions on that?
Yeah, Bernice, is this tile, that's what I was going to ask, this tile on the walls, not the floor, but is it also inside the shower or tub surround, I assume, right? Not just outside the tub.
It's on the walls and inside the tub.
Okay. Yeah, well, you certainly have to use either epoxy paint or manufacturers do make paint that's called tile paint. Sometimes it's called bath and tile paint, something like that. But whatever paint you use, do make sure it's designed. Some people just use house paint or any acrylic paint, and you really need something that's formulated for the for tile. And because it's a pretty slick surface, and that's why it's so important to sand it first, as Danny said. Not only are you cleaning it off, but you're roughening up the surface just a little bit, and it'll help the and you probably have to require a primer as well, but to help the primer and the paint stick a lot better. Can you do it? Yes. You know, how long is it going to last will depend on how much the surface is exposed to scrubbing and people touching it and hot water and everything else. But yeah, you can do it. And it's not any more difficult than really painting anything else.
All right. That sounds good.
All right.
Take it a step at a time. Make sure you cover up really well because you don't want that epoxy to get anywhere, you know, that you don't want it to get, you know.
Okay. So how long would this take?
Well, you'll have a little bit of drying time in there, but it's certainly something that could be done in the course of a weekend. Just a classic weekend project.
And do I have to do anything to the grout around the tub?
Yeah, unfortunately, the grout between the tiles, you're just going to have to paint over. They really don't recommend trying not to paint the grout or anything else. So it's not going to obviously look like a traditional tile job because you won't see the grout joints. But around the tub, that should really be caulk, not grout anyway. So you wouldn't paint that, I would think, because that probably matches the color. Is the tub pink too?
The tub is gray.
Oh, good. Yeah. I think Chelsea had a pink bathroom and she decided to just, because she it's going to be for her daughter, she decided to just honor the pink and let her daughter enjoy it.
That's right, honor the pink and actually put some wallpaper on the walls and the ceiling that kind of tied it all together. I thought, oh, Lord, this is going to be, I don't know. But like so many times, she was right on that one. It looked great when it was all finished.
I actually saw that thing.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Yeah, she called it a jewelry box because the ceiling and the walls.
Ceiling, right?
Yeah. Never heard of that one. But Bernice, just take your time on it and read the instructions real carefully. Maybe some of those thin latex gloves while you're doing it to keep you from getting any of it on your hands. And I think you'll be real proud of your bathroom once you get it all wrapped up.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much, you and Joe, and I hope you have a good day.
Oh, thank you as well. Have yourself a good weekend. We appreciate you being a part of the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that is something, Joe. I'm going to go over and take a look at this project, and we're talking about doing the same thing because so many people, are interested in that. This particular house I'm going to, it looked like this bathroom through the pictures had never even been used, and I think it's 1956. And I mean, it is just perfect. And of course, the people, I know the people well, and they are, very, very good housekeepers, keep things nice and clean, which is a big part of keeping a bathroom looking good. So it'll be interesting. I think it'll be a great before and after picture that we're planning on transforming this thing and of course, making an episode out of it.
Well, it's certainly a lot less work than tearing it out and replacing it. And as we say with some projects, including this one, paint it and see if you like it and it lasts. If it doesn't, then you can always tear it out.
That's right. Yeah, well, it's going to be a change. It's going to brighten it up, so it definitely will be more appealing. Good. We'll keep you posted on that show so that you'll get an opportunity to see it on the Today's Homeowner television show. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back with more current home improvement information for you and your family. We'll be right back. When your house needs a new roof, it's important to make a good investment. The roof is literally your home's first line of defense against the elements, so you want something that's durable, low maintenance, long-lasting, and protects your home from strong winds, hail, and even wildfire. You want a quality metal roof because it performs as beautifully as it looks. The Metal Roofing Alliance can help you find the metal roof that's right for you. Check out their free Metal Roofing Buyer's Guide at metalroofing.com. If you're looking for a simple, inexpensive way to upgrade your kitchen, try the new LuxRock Solid Surface Granite Countertop Kit from Deitch Coatings. It's an easy four-step process that you can do yourself to give your counters authentic granite elegance in just a weekend. And because it's formulated with real stone, this revolutionary product resists stains, heat, and impact to deliver a high-end appearance with smooth richness that rivals a professional granite installation at a fraction of the cost. Find LuxRock online at the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot. Take today's homeowner with you wherever you go with our popular podcast channel. Listen to our daily tips for today's homeowner. Get answers to your most common questions with our Ask Danny podcast. Or catch up on past episodes of the Today's Homeowner radio show. They're all designed to help you find solutions that work for your home. And they're available on demand on our Today's Homeowner podcast channel. Just search Today's Homeowner podcast on your favorite app and listen today.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
And welcome back to the show. Hope your weekend is going well. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host Joe Trurini, and we're trying to help people out all over the country with some of the challenges they have, just like Mike up in New Hampshire. Got a little leaky situation here. Mike, tell us all about it, and welcome to the show.
We moved in the house probably 18 months ago, and it's just one of the last things we've been trying to tackle now. And every time I move towards the shower to get it done, it just overwhelms me because I don't know what I'm doing. So probably common for you guys, but it just drips constantly from the faucet head. It's a three-quarter bath. We're on a well, so I'm not really concerned about my water bill. That's probably the reason why I've been dragging my feet. But it drips all the time. And sometimes I'll turn the knob with a little bit of force, and that will stop it a little bit. But what my trick usually is just turn the shower on quick and then turn it back off, and it will slow it. But sometimes it runs, you know, faster than others, so there's no real consistency to it other than the fact that it's always dripping.
Right. Now, is it the shower head that's dripping or the actual spout coming out of the wall?
So it's an overhead, so it nothing's coming from the handle. It's coming from the actual, you know, the shower head itself.
Right.
And approximately how old, you said you've lived there 18 months. Is the house 18 months old, or you moved into an existing house?
Yeah, it was built in early 2000, so I think maybe 2000, 2001.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Because, you know, a lot of times you'll get just a little bit of debris, and it's amazing. People don't realize how much stuff is floating around in the water that we drink. And, you know, if you have maybe a water well, maybe you have even more in some cases, where you have just something that's creating a problem with that plumbing seat and that the little where the different controls. Is it a single lever or is it a double handle?
It's a single. And that's the other reason, too, is I'm kind of motivated to change the whole thing because I can't stand it. It's ugly. So if there's an easier fix to just replace the whole thing, I'd rather just do that because I don't like the setup. But that's probably why I'm not fixing it, because every time I get in here, I'm like, well, what's the longer term thing I'd rather do than just a short, you know, kind of stopgap?
Well, Joe, you think on that single handle, you know, we talk about that little Teflon ball that's in there.
Yeah.
And the slightest little bit of debris, or often the case, that'll have just a tiny split in it. Of course, you have to turn the water off to the house in order to access that. But, boy, that little thing's pretty easy to pop out and pop another one in, even though it is, you know, 20-plus years old. What would you recommend on that, Joe?
Yeah, Mike, when you'd mentioned that, sometimes you can crank the handle a little bit and it slows it or stops it. That seems to indicate that there's a shower inside the valve itself. So this has nothing to do with the shower head, but in the valve where behind the handle, there's a shower cartridge that's inside that handle, and it controls the water volume, the temperature, and the balance pressure. So if someone flushes the toilet, you don't get a bunch of hot water. So, and those cartridges do go bad, especially after 20 years. There's a little seal in there. If the seal is worn, you're on a well. I'm on a well as well. And I live in Connecticut, and I'm on a well. And if a little bit of debris, like Danny said, gets in there through the, you know, this little sediment through the water, it can wear that seal a little bit, this rubber seal. And it does take very much for the water to slip through that seal and start dripping. And that's, I suspect, what you have. So, okay, so how do you change that? Well, on that round knob handle you have, you can pry off the center of it and access a screw, and you pull off the handle, and you eventually can get to the valve behind that brass escutcheon plate you have there, and you'll reveal the entire valve in there, and then you can remove that, turn off the water, of course, and then remove that cartridge, bring it to a home center or plumbing supply, and get the exact same one. There are like 1,000 of these, and that's why I always recommend bringing the old one with you if you want to try to repair this. If you're looking to replace it anyway, then I'd say do none of that and just call a plumber. Go buy whatever style or finished fixture you want, and just replace if you want to replace the whole thing anyway. But for less than $10, I would guess, maybe $12, you could probably fix this problem.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. I have a closet right behind there. My biggest concern ever, anytime dealing with plumbing, is water. Right, if it's sealed and it leaks, is there any way to, like, if I decide to kind of tinker with this a little bit, that other than busting a hole in the back of the shower, like where the closet is, to see, like, how do you typically handle until it's too late, right? Because you're not going to see a leak until you see the floor or the ceiling.
You can replace this or fix it without busting a hole into anything. They should be able to.
Okay.
You know, the plumber will take a look at it. He might be able to cut out the existing valve and then put in a new one.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you both.
Yeah, of course. You can always cut an access panel, by the way, in that closet. And this way, you'll always have access to the back of it.
You both have made huge strides in my confidence with helping across the board with the home and outside, inside. So thank you both for your dedication.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
Glad to do it, Mike. Best of luck to you on it. I think it'll be a big success. And thanks so much for being a part of the show today.
Perfect. Thank you both.
Take care.
All right. Have a great weekend. And everybody else, I hope you have a great weekend as well. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. It's Simple Solution Time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Keep the bugs out and let the fresh air in with Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door. It's a quick, affordable solution for outdoor living spaces. The durable mesh is easily installed and can be attached to the inside or the outside of your existing door frame with no tools needed. It works on single or sliding doors, and the magnetic closures make it easy to walk through when your hands are full. Learn more about Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door at duckbrand.com.
Hi, Danny and Chelsea here.
If you're an explorer, we want to invite you to make our home, Mobile, Alabama, your next adventure.
Explore the great outdoors on America's Amazon, the Mobile Tensaw River Delta.
Explore science and technology with the whole family at the Explorium Science Center.
Explore fantastic cuisine at unique restaurants throughout the city.
Explore our history in museums, forts, and sites like Battleship Memorial Park.
Plan your next adventure on the Gulf Coast at mobile.org.
Got a project? Tight bond sealants are the toughest in the industry, trusted by builders and contractors for reliability and durability. Our weather-resistant formulas stand up to extreme conditions. With extensive color matching availability and exceptional adhesion, they're versatile for any exterior use. No matter the job, count on high performance for best-in-class results. Tight Bond Sealants, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
When you download the Home Depot app, taking on big or small projects starts with a tap. It's your pocket-sized toolbox for getting more done. Image search helps you find what you need with a snap. Store mode pinpoints exactly where to go to get what you want while you're at our store. Or just tap to arrange for easy curbside pickup, all from the palm of your hand. It's the app that's made for doing. The Home Depot app. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Well, it's that time of the show where I can sit back and relax a little bit and let my buddy Joe earn his keep. And he always shares with us a great, simple solution. What do you have for us, Joe?
All right, Daniel. When you need to paint the edges of an item, like narrow edges, such as like the edge of a shelving unit or shelves themselves, cabinet doors, drawer fronts, anything like that, it's always best to raise the pieces up off your work surface on little stands of some sort, so you can paint those edges, and they won't, you know, the paint won't stick to the workbench or whatever you're painting on. And so you can make little stands from an egg carton. So you just have to get an empty egg carton. They're usually made out of either styrofoam or paper, essentially cardboard. Use scissors to cut out each of the individual little egg holding cups, right? So you just cut those out, and then you turn them upside down and place them on the work surface and set the workpiece on top. So now it's raised up, you know, whatever that is, a good inch and a half or so. It gives you plenty of room. With the workpiece elevated, now you can very easily and neatly paint around the edges, all four edges, then, of course, the top as well.
Oh, that's a great simple solution there. It'll solve that problem of any of that paint running down and you not realizing it, having it up right off the... No, so that's great. And you can see a lot of simple solutions, over 550 of them, by going to todayshomeowner.com/simple solution. Joe, I thought we would run down real quickly this part of the ROI home remodeling survey that's just been released. And I'd also remind you, you can go to todayshomeowner.com/radio, and we have a link so that you can see the entire study right there. It's pretty amazing. It's just being released right now. And if you look at the top 10 of the highest average cost recovered nationally on a different project, surprising a lot of people, garage door replacement is at 100%. And next to that, wood window replacement, you get 95.5% of your money back.
And then next on the list, this would be number 3 and number 4 on the return on investment, would be screened in porch. Adding a screened-in porch, we certainly can understand why that would be an attractive project. And fiber cement siding replacement. So it's not installing fiber cement. I thought that was pretty surprising. But anyway, fiber cement siding replacement comes in at number 4.
And that's probably, you know, where they're replacing a lot of the hardboard siding and other sidings that aren't as maintenance-free, and so that probably is driving that. Next on the list, vinyl siding replacement. You can expect to get back 91%. Vinyl window replacement. A lot of people considering replacing their windows with vinyl. 90%. Sounding pretty good.
Sounds really good. Yeah. Of these top 10, by the way, you recoup between 80 and 100%. So these are pretty good. Now, this one I found surprising is the in-ground pool. I often heard that you didn't get much return on your investment, but there you go, an in-ground pool, and then a composite deck addition as opposed to a wood deck addition. So a lot of people are, I think the price of composite decking has come down a little bit, so that's why more and more people are adding that to their new deck.
And the last two items on the top 10 ROI list, concrete backyard patio comes in at 86.4% return on your investment. Wood deck addition, still up there, 80%. Yep. So, again, this study is so good and so current. This is what Today's Homeowner is all about right here, is providing you the kind of information that you probably can't find anywhere else. It's brand spanking new. Read more about the survey by going to todayshomeowner.com/radio. While you're at Today's Homeowner, you can find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show in your area. We're all over the country. It's our 25th year. We're having a lot of fun with that, and we have a show I'd love for for you to see what we're calling a closet divided. And that's basically a fairly good-sized master bedroom closet. And it had a wall right down the middle. And you guessed it, his on one side, hers on the other.
And I thought you were going to say hers on one side and hers on the other.
Yeah, well, that's the way it ends up a lot of times. Right. But they each have different needs and different wants and different amount of clothes in those areas. Check out the show this week and you'll see how we solved the problem and everybody was happy when it was all said and done. Again, go to todayshomeowner.com and find out where you can see the TV show in your area. Well, that'll pretty much wrap up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Trewini. Thanks so much for spending some time with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio.